In an academic setting, the visual arts can seem like two different worlds. The painting students wrapped up in their own medium, the sculptors in theirs. Currently on view at the Indianapolis Museum of Contemporary Art, Inner City Inspiration, An Artist's Evolution in Clay, showcases the work of Malcolm Mobutu-Smith, Associate Professor of Fine Art at Indiana University. In a conversation with WFIU's Yael Cassander, the ceramics professor revealed just how thoroughly he intermingles disciplines and how seriously extracurricular his source of inspiration has been.
The origin story for Malcolm Mobutu-Smith's artistic life is set in a classroom in suburban Philadelphia in the early 1980s.
It was this high school art teacher who had the chutzpah to show us the then very new documentary Style Wars, which was chronicling the origins of hip-hop and graffiti.
Style Wars, which premiered on PBS in 1983, profiled the young graffiti artists who tagged New York subway trains.
You know, you get these guys, they've done their pieces and they come back to the train yard the next morning, and the whole resolution of risking life and limb and incarceration was just for the moment of saying, this is it, this is it, watching a train come down the line so that they can see their work roll by them. This is it. This, and that's it. That's the fulfillment. That hit me like a thunderbolt.
From the remove of his suburban Philadelphia classroom, the thrill was admittedly vicarious. But Malcolm had a bit of a double life.
The irony is that I'm living in this mostly all-white school district in a suburb of Philadelphia with my African-American father, who had recently moved there, and my mother lived in inner city Flint, Michigan, which was the complete reverse. We're talking, the school system was mostly black, but that's not where I first made my contact with hip-hop.
And your mother's race?
My mother is white, yeah. So there's this sort of weird inverse.
But both of Malcolm's parents had art degrees, and becoming an artist seemed almost a foregone conclusion in the family. The movie about the graffiti artist simply provided the requisite shove.
I went back to Flint, Michigan over the summers, lived with my mother, and at 14, I just went out and started doing it. I didn't have a crew. I didn't have any kind of protective support system that I would have maybe found if I lived in inner city New York City or downtown Philadelphia. I would have sort of run with some other younger people who also did it, and they would have showed me the ropes. I just did it. I went out there and did it.
So you developed a particular tag, and is there evidence of this tag still down in Flint, Michigan?
Oh, probably not. No. Not 25 years later, but...
Did you ever get busted?
Nope. Never been busted. But the... I went through that, and then I bumped into clay even after I had this nascent experience with graffiti. Like, clay just grabbed me, and I knew that I was going to be a ceramic artist and a teacher. I knew that I wanted to teach from the very beginning, but clay was the thing. And clay let you manifest physically everything you were doing in a sketchbook anyway, but you can then make it real and you could touch it. And it always seemed to me that there was something very physical or suggestive about the space, the shallow space of graffiti art, that I wanted to try to get into. Get into the depth of it.
That interplay between shallow and deep space really reminds me of cubism.
Mm.
Someone like Leger, Picasso, Braque, mm-hmm. The reference to something that is flat, the way they would constantly refer to the newspaper.
Sure.
And you, likewise, are referring to graffiti, and that serves as a reference to the two-dimensional zone.
Exactly.
And then you're putting all of these other things that suggest deep space, that suggest, you know, two-point perspective and traditional ways of indicating volume, and showing those things adjacent to the thing that refers to the flat.
And sometimes flattening of volume. We're not letting a volume actually have real space, trying to deny it. I'll take a volume and throw it on the wheel, which is always going to be round, and I might intentionally squish it, but not completely flatten it, but to change its suggestive space.
If it's hard to imagine what a cubist collage might look like in three dimensions, look no farther than Malcolm's cloud cups, a number of which are on view in the retrospective at IMOCA.
It suggests cup only in the most abstract sense at this point. I start with a basic volume, a cylinder or a tapered cylinder or an everted cylinder, and then I'll sort of intersect that with a bubbly cloud form, sort of trying to push its way through it. In this particular piece, not only are there cloud form swirls, both three-dimensional and graphic on the surface, but I've pierced it with a low-relief carving of literal graffiti arrows, a convention within most graffiti artists. And this one just sort of celebrates the arrow itself as a lattice of overlapping shapes.
These ceramic funhouses, where letter forms explode into volume and seemingly volumetric elements collapse into flat design, disorient the viewer further by bringing disparate ceramic traditions together within a single piece.
I do like a mashup, and it's sort of like a visual sampling board or mixing board that a DJ might use. I sort of shy away from the expected, so if I'm going to do something that expresses the raw, unglazed clay, then I bounce that off with a very synthetic-looking black, low-temperature shape or form that I've drawn on in a graphic, two-dimensional sense.
The so-called vessels extend the conversation between dimensions into the space of the room where they're exhibited.
The cloud cups are mounted on walls with wall plinths that come out horizontally, and then behind the wall plinth is what I call backsplash, or a graphic shape that's cut out in sort of foregrounds or backgrounds the object. So the three-dimensional clay cup sits on this plinth floating in the air.
To continue the ongoing dialogue between the object and the wall, for the show at iMOCA, Malcolm collaborated with artist Mike Birchfield, Indianapolis graffiti writers Fab Crew, and local elementary school students to create a full-scale graffiti mural in the gallery space.
We came together on a Sunday in March and spent an entire day in a warehouse and did this magical mural. It's 32 feet long and 8 feet tall.
Beyond serving as a backdrop for the artist's ceramic objects, the mural quite literally connects the downtown street front gallery to the source of Malcolm's original artistic impulse.
We saw it many times that people were walking down the street on the night of the opening and did absolute dead stop double takes and turned around and came back in the door because they saw this gigantic wall of graffiti inside the gallery space. Basically, that was the seed for the whole show, to reify that neighborhood in the context of making artwork that's influenced directly by the essence of the outside, the locale of an urban situation.
For WFIU, I'm Yael Cassander.
Inner City Inspiration, An Artist's Evolution in Clay, showcases ceramic vessels and sculptures Malcolm Mobutu-Smith has made over the course of his career. The exhibition is on view through May the 14th at the Indianapolis Museum of Contemporary Art. See some of Smith's work online at wfiu.org/arts.